What's up, everyone? I'm Coding Harry. I'm back with the second episode of Full Stack Radio. Today, we're talking about the back-end languages, back-end skills, and languages in general. I am going to actually do a recap of the first part of front-end technologies and what we saw in the first ever episode that I recorded for this podcast. We talked about HTML, we talked about CSS and JavaScript, how we can evolve from these first technologies, how we can start the very first steps and how we can evolve into creating more advanced projects. Today, we're going to be turning our sight to the backend stuff, the backend languages, technologies, databases, server-side frameworks, APIs, web services, authentication methods, security methods, development tools and best practices, also some resources and learning paths that these may also be the same, or if not the same, but like similar to the front-end ones that we discussed in the previous episode last week, and maybe also check some suggested books and communities that you can be helped with and helped on for your starting journey, if not only on the front-end part, but maybe also in the back-end part. Or maybe both. You can decide your own path, but I'm here only to help you with the back-end stuff, at least for now. So how important is the back-end development in the web projects is very important. I can imagine like and 99.9% of the projects we're taking has some kind of a backend logic to it. If not a backend logic, then maybe an interaction with a database or just like a web service or an API call that we're doing depending on our needs for the project. So backend development is pretty important. You have lots to learn on this one. And the overview in general is what we cover. We'll cover in this part. So we're going to have a whole overview of this thing called backend. So the backend languages and the backend technologies in general is actually what we don't see as users. We have explained in the previous episode, the first part actually of the How to Start with Web Development title, that there is the front end part where the user sees and interacts with the page. It's like, as we mentioned with Facebook. So we have different inputs, different buttons, green buttons, blue buttons, and so many more. And we have the ability to interact with the page, to add new friends, to message friends, and so many more. But we don't actually see the number of data and the number of calls that we are doing when we do these interactions in the front end. So this is called backend. The number of interactions and the number of calls that we actually as users put to the server or maybe to the web service, to the APIs themselves, or the authentication and the security that we manage to show on top of all the things that we're doing on the site is called backend. So backend has also an immense amount of subcategories to be divided into, as just like front-end languages that we discussed in the previous one. But we're going to stay actually with the most important ones. Python, even Ruby sometimes, Node.js that I've worked with, Java, and PHP that was actually my first language of the backend that I worked with. PHP is one of the most, stable, or if not stable, then most used, I think, right now. And has to be gaining some disadvantage now that it's like an old language for someone to be working with. But considering the part that PHP has built 90% of the internet right now, it's still a solid option for a backend language option. Some considerations when choosing to work with a backend language can be varied from project to project. Of course, as we said, with front-end, different projects require different requirements. If we'd like to say that we're building something like a database for different nodes for the user. So we'd like to build something like a user has a page they can manage their nodes from there, different nodes, different users, maybe share them. Then we'll need to also have in mind the database, the server-side languages, the APIs or the web services that are called. Maybe we'd like to integrate PayPal inside, just receive some payments, or I don't know, maybe we'd like each user to pay the other one for any reason. I don't know why I told that, but yeah. Maybe we'd like to put some web services inside with PayPal. And the fact that we have users, we have authentication and security inside. So users have to register their account to the database, have to log in and then interact with the database every time to save and create notes, right? So if that works with them, then we're good. So different kinds of thoughts right now for this custom project that I created right now, just to demonstrate you guys how this works. We actually had an idea of building a site with notes and having users integrate with it. And we talked about these for 2 minutes, and we created something with 10 different technologies. So you can see how advanced can the backend side of the things be and get involved with the different frontend technologies in the other part. So by doing this long introduction actually for the backend languages, I'd like to start with the database ones, because database is actually the saving point of our application. Most of the time, it's actually the saving point, maybe 99.9% of the databases and the database management. So when we say that we'd like to integrate a database for our application, we mean the data that we have, let's say our first name, our last name, the username that we may use, age, or any profile information can be stored into the database. Databases can be included in the languages as SQL or NoSQL, and so many more. I've known also some other, I don't know, maybe management systems just like MySQL or MongoDB, or even PostgreSQL. I've worked with PostgreSQL in my university time, also with MySQL. I remember there was just like a compartment inside the platform that was using MySQL, which was called, I don't even remember the name to be honest, it was called something like PHP MyAdmin, if I'm not wrong. It was actually so enjoyable to be working with, because you had to create your very own database, and then you could actually put manually these values. Let's say we have a database called users where we store all our users inside there, and then you just create sub titles or just subsections of this database, which is the first name, the last name, and everything we talked before that our application may have. So it can be pretty easy to start it, but it can be so advanced in terms of structure that you may not know how this database, that small database that you just created, maybe in 1 year it would just be immensely huge of the amount of data that you can store. So the database can be included in the database structure of SQL, NoSQL, but also the database management systems can be included inside MySQL, MongoDB, and PostgreSQL that I discussed previously, also in my university years. But for this to be happening, actually, we'd like to use a method to grab those data from the database and send them back for the user to see. So let's say that we have the Facebook example. So we are a user on Facebook and we'd like to access our profile page and see our information apparently. So if we actually have stored our information in a database where we have our name or username and all the other information that Facebook needs from a user, the only thing that will help us get this information from the database and show it to us in the front end will be a server-side framework. Server-side framework can be divided into many subcategories, as all the other categories that we talked about. It's pretty funny actually, because Express.js, Ruby on Rails, Django, Flask, so many languages, frameworks, libraries are included in this tiny section of the frameworks streamlined in the backend development. These languages or frameworks can be solely used to be integrated into your database or front-end logic and intertwined between each other to bring and store information from and to your database. So we save our information from the front-end with any front-end framework or plain JavaScript sometimes, and we put it with the help of, let's say, Express.js on Ruby on Rails. We put it directly in the database framework that we use. This could be either SQL or NoSQL methods, or with what I did in my university years, which included PostgreSQL, MySQL, or anything like that. So we managed to actually create a front-end framework, a front-end logic. Then we created a database where we store our information. We have like a structure where we have the first name, the last name of the user, the username. Let's say we have also a user image, which they can change at any time and point in their life during their time on Facebook or on our application, let's say with the notes. And we also have a server-side framework, Express.js, that helps us get and store this information in the database itself. Sometimes also we have very specific needs of what we actually want from this application. Let's say that we'd like to receive monthly payments of this application, just like a subscription of the user. These are the works and the tasks of a web service. Web services might be included inside the whole payment system and include inside PayPal or even Strapi. I don't know if Strapi or Stripe. I think it's Stripe. Because I've recently used Stripe and it's amazing. I don't know if anyone has worked with it. I'm talking to the advanced or intermediate professional side of the programmers or the listeners that are actually listening right now, because I'm building an app with React right now, and Stripe has been a huge help in this part of the development of the application, because it has a test mode. You can do like a sandbox of payments and create some payments, like a testing payments phase. And also it has the production environment where you actually take different kinds of payments depending on your requirements of the app. And Stripe has been an immense help for me, also from the backend side, also in the frontend side, because it has a custom page that it redirects you to put your information, payment information, personal information, to put the subscription in the application that I would like to subscribe to. But instead of web services, we also have APIs. APIs are just another very, very useful part of the web development area. APIs are, let's say, have an example, as the examples that we had during these two episodes so far. APIs just bring information from different databases on the internet, either free or paid subscriptions or information, to the user in the front end. So let's say that we'd like to bring some information about different Pokemon. I know and I have worked with a specific API that has all the Pokemon that, I don't know, anyone has found, or any of the people that work or even watch Pokemon. It has a storage of every Pokemon inside. So if someone in the front end searches for a specific Pokemon, then it shows it to him and just like shows the name, the picture of the Pokemon, and some statistics. I don't know. Yes. Okay. These are all can be configured. So you have a JSON file that, or just like a payload of the API, and it shows you how the information is structured. Then you just take the name, you take the photo, you take all the statistics that you'd like and show them into the front end. So then the API can be included inside these technologies for your application. APIs can also be included inside the weather data. Let's say you go into, you navigate into a new site where you want to, you would like to see what the weather will be tomorrow. This actually gives you the opportunity to see the weather. It's because of an API call that's making every, I don't know, 1 minute, or how you customize it to be transferring data to your application in the front end. And the API actually has one job: to get that information from the server that they are just updating constantly in the server and get to you back with information that you requested. So I've requested my location, obviously, and then the degrees and all the other information about that day, or maybe tomorrow or 1 week after, will be displayed to my front end. So that's what an API does. Brings you information, and of course, other web services and APIs can be included in the whole back-end logic of the things. So pretty useful. If you'd like to work with APIs and learn a little bit deeper on what APIs and web services are and where they can be included in your project or, I don't know, teaching learning system, can be found all on the internet. We've talked about in the last, I think, 2 or 3 minutes in the first podcast episode, we've talked about some good sites that you can navigate into to learn some things like that. I would also add to that list FreeCodeCamp. I don't think I've mentioned it in the first episode, but FreeCodeCamp is a very good site, an informative site, and it also includes APIs and web services inside. But enough said with the APIs and the web services and PayPal and Stripe and the Pokemon APIs. If you'd like to, let's say, include users in your application, then you'd like to have authentication and, of course, security on that part of the development. So we've managed to build a front end, a good front end logic with maybe a good design. Then we managed to create a database with specific information about the users, at least for now. And then we managed also to retrieve and connect the communication with the server-side frameworks with Express.js, Ruby on Rails, either Django or maybe Flask. All of these with the front end and the back end, putting, storing data and retrieving data from and to the database works with the server-side frameworks. And also managed to add the subscriptions with the web services, PayPal or Stripe, and also some information with the APIs that we used. But authentication and security are just like on another full level, because there is what we call in the back end and the security development phase, like an SQL injection. So this is what comes with the security, actually, because imagine that you have a login form, or like a registration form better, if we'd like to describe it that way. So in the security section, someone may be injecting like a custom code inside your registration form where it directly goes to the database and it's read by the database like that. And the database thinks that you actually put a command there, which command has been entered by a malicious user. So that actually may delete your whole database or even put some other code, custom code inside where they have access to your whole application. Just like that. So you have to be taking into consideration the security part of your application, because these things happen every single day inside your application or in general on the internet. And authentication plays a specific and significant role in this case, because you have to register new users and make the old users log in and share and have access on your application in order to be going well with the payments, with the web services that you worked with and that you developed and had the chance to choose them. So authentication plays a very important role in this case. By continuing this very specific topic, we have mentioned also the IDEs and the version control systems, which have been included with VS Code and maybe Git. I don't know if any of you have been using Git or VS Code. I think, of course, because these two topics, these two-part topics with the front-end and the back-end are in the web development area. So Git has to be one of the most important things for you to upload and merge your code on GitHub, let's say on GitHub. So Git actually is a command in the terminal for Mac users, CMD for Windows users, that actually lets you upload your code on another page called GitHub, and you can have your code standing there and be shown to other people, either publicly or privately to you or specific people that you show them to. And it also allows you to check what changes you made on your code and maybe even reverse, in most of the times, your code to where you wanted it to be. So it's pretty important if you do some mistakes or you're in bad way of the code, you can either reverse it or just leave it as it is. Your call. You can do anything that you'd like with this. IDEs on the other side, IDEs are just like the platforms where you actually code. So VS Code for web development is, I think it's number one to be considering, because I'm using it for the last 4 years right now, 2 years professionally. And VS Code is just like an agile, more professional version of, I don't know many other IDEs, to be honest. I know also Sublime Text, but I don't know if many people are using it. Personally, I love VS Code and I've worked with it. I don't know, some other people have different opinions, different respected opinions, of course. But VS Code is for me the best because it's agile, it's customizable, I can do anything I want with it. So why not use it also in my professional life? And yes, I found happiness with it and I'm using it also with backend development. Why not? Yes. Personally, in my professional life, I'm using Node.js in the backend. So Node, just like the equivalent of the JavaScript frameworks in the front end, Node.js is in the backend as a framework working with the database, also with the servers and making so many calls out there to be considered. So yes, it's working also with the VS Code just like properly and as I wanted to. But enough said for that, I actually managed to run into the end of this podcast, part two. And this will be the conclusion with it because we talked about so many things. We talked about how to start with backend languages. We talked about Python, Ruby on Rails, Node.js also in the start of the podcast. Now in the end, the finishing of the podcast, Java, PHP, how it started, how it's actually only now affecting the web. We talked about databases in our Notes application and SQL with MySQL and PHP MyAdmin that you can work with, and APIs with the Pokemon and how we can retrieve the Pokemon names, images, and all the statistics for our searched Pokemon. Web services and payments with PayPal and Stripe APIs, and RESTful APIs and how we can integrate the payments within our users and subscriptions with it. We also had a very quick analysis of the authentication, the security, and how important it is for our application to be having registration pages and login pages that are not going to harm our users or even our database and our application in general with SQL injections. And at the final section of the podcast, we talked about Git and IDEs with GitHub and VS Code as the main platform, main application that we used to write code. So yes, that's what I had for you for today's episode. Thank you very much for tuning in to the second part and the second episode of this Full Stack Radio series for the first season. Thank you very much, guys. Be sure to leave a thumbs up Even a good comment would be appreciated so much. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Take care.